Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, October 14th. I'm Abby Larico. The Trump administration is promising billions of dollars in bailout money for farmers affected by tariffs and facing a tough economy this year. But some say it's not the real solution they need.
We want markets. Markets are consistent. We can bet on them. When you go to these ad hoc bailout programs, they definitely help, but it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
Farmers and experts weigh in on whether a bailout will really address the farm economy's woes. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A man is set to be executed in Missouri today after Governor Mike Kehoe denied his asks for clemency. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the death sentence in this case is due to an unusual state law.
Lance Shockley was found guilty by a jury of a 2005 murder of a Missouri highway patrolman. However, the jury was unable to reach a unanimous sentencing decision on Shockley's punishment. Instead, the judge in this case issued a death sentence. Mary Fox leads the death penalty abolition program of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. She says Missouri is one of only two states where a judge can issue the sentence if a jury cannot agree to one.
In most states, if the jury would deadlock on that issue, then the sentence would automatically be the life sentence. In Missouri, there is a loophole that allows the judge to impose a sentence of death.
Missouri lawmakers have filed legislation that would eliminate that loophole. Last year, one version of the bill made it to the Senate floor, but not beyond that point. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The now 10-week-long strike by unionized Boeing workers in the St. Louis area has started to affect the United States military. STLPR's Olivia Mizell reports.
A U.S. military official said last week that deliveries of some fighter jets have been delayed due to the strike. Labor expert and department chair of sociology at Washington University, Jake Rosenfeld, said on St. Louis on the Air, this may put pressure on the company to end the strike, especially after questions regarding the safety of its commercial planes.
This is another setback that, as it drags on, could continue the narrative that this is a company that cannot get out of its own way.
Boeing has also been feeling mounting pressure from politicians, including Senators Josh Hawley and Bernie Sanders. A company official recently sent a letter to union members saying Boeing will not make a better contract offer. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missourians on the state's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program will no longer be able to buy certain products under a proposed change. Governor Kehoe's office announced in late September that it submitted a waiver request to the U.S. Department of Agriculture to change Missouri's SNAP program. Melissa Wolf with the Missouri Department of Social Services says the goal is to focus on healthier food.
We are looking to promote and prioritize healthy foods that have higher nutritional values, focusing on whole and minimally processed foods.
The waiver filed to the USDA states Missouri will classify certain food and beverages as restricted. That means those products will no longer be SNAP eligible. Critics say incentives to eat healthier rather than burdensome restrictions would be better policy. Some of the foods that will no longer be eligible include candy, soda, and prepared desserts. Nearly all of Missouri's state funding for private school vouchers is going to religious schools. Jody Fortino reports.
The Missouri Independent reports that of more than 2,300 scholarships awarded in August, only 59 went to students in non-religious schools. That was the first month that scholarships for Missouri School Voucher Program, called Mo Scholars, were funded directly from state revenue. Mo Scholars previously relied on a tax credit program. The Missouri National Education Association sued the state in June, seeking to block it from giving more than $50 million to Mo Scholars. A Cole County judge refused to freeze payments to the program, but also refused the state's request to dismiss the case entirely. I'm Jody Fortino.
The number of black teachers in Missouri decreased after school segregation became illegal, and the issue still persists. That's according to a recent report by St. Louis University researchers. Their study shows that more than 2,200 black educators lost their jobs from 1954 to 1970. And that was while the number of black students in Missouri public schools increased. Joseph Nichols co-authored the report.
This is a really important indicator about who is represented in schools, how does that affect their education, what does that say about our commitment to certain groups of students over others.
The report also reveals that during integration, many Black Missouri educators were not allowed to teach core subjects or were demoted to support staff. This week's Monday edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is one of the last, as ownership group Lee Enterprises navigates headwinds impacting the communities it serves. The Midwest Newsroom's Holly Edgel reports the PD is one of more than 70 Lee-owned newspapers making changes amid a tough economic outlook.
Dozens of daily Lee Enterprises newspapers will stop printing Monday editions in early November. Last month, the Omaha World Herald announced layoffs, and last year, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch closed its local printing press and laid off the staff. Smaller Lee papers in Iowa and Nebraska have merged. Damon Kiso teaches the business of news at the University of Missouri. He says an increase in digital ad revenue doesn't make up for the decline in print advertising.
If you want that resource to remain as part of the community, as part of the civic infrastructure of the community, someone does have to pay for it.
Kiso says eliminating one day's printed edition is a symptom of a shrinking customer base. I'm Holly Edgel, the Midwest Newsroom.
St. Louisans are gearing up for Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead. It happens at the end of the month, and it is much more than just a holiday about death. It's a celebration of life meant to remember loved ones who have died. Families traditionally welcome back the souls of their loved ones by adorning ofrendas, altars fixed with photos, favorite foods, candles, personal mementos, and other items meant to guide spirits back to their families. St. Louis Public Radio wants to know who you are remembering this year. Help us celebrate their lives. Share memories of grandparents, friends, siblings, children, even pets, and we will use provided photos and memories to honor them online. You can find that form on our homepage or at stlpr.org/ofrenda, O-F-R-E-N-D-A. Submissions will be accepted through October 17th. The Trump administration is promising billions in a bailout for farmers. The trade war with China has cost farmers one of their biggest markets. But crop prices are also down, while the cost of farming is way up. Harvest Public Media's Joe Schultz reports on what the bailout will really mean for the farm economy.
On the cusp of fall, Zach Soltvedt looks over a plot of corn on his family farm in Seymour, Wisconsin. And he's feeling good about what he sees.
It's still nice and green yet. We haven't seen any fungus come in through here at all. On this plot, we're expecting a pretty good yield out of it.
And he's not alone in expecting a good crop. The U.S. Department of Agriculture projects corn production nationwide will be up 13% from last year. Several states expect to see record high yields for both corn and soybeans. But Chad Hart, an agricultural economist at Iowa State University, says strong production tends to drive crop prices down. Those low prices, along with trade uncertainty and high input costs, are cutting deeply into farm profits.
A lot of what the farmers could control, they did and did well, which is leading to the really strong production. But almost everything that's outside of their control has moved against them this year.
That includes President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs. China, which bought around half of U.S. soybean exports last year, halted all purchases in retaliation. That's left farmers with few options to sell their beans, and is why the Trump administration is offering them a bailout. The administration is reportedly eyeing between $10 and $15 billion in aid to farmers. President Trump has said he wants to use tariff revenues to fund the aid. But will it be enough?
It's not going to fix the lost market problems that we're talking about.
That's Jonathan Kappas, a professor of agricultural policy at the University of Illinois.
And worse, it could harm farmers in the long run if, for example, costs stay high or we plant soybeans for a market that doesn't exist.
During the first Trump administration, farmers received more than $20 billion to make up for trade disruptions due to tariffs. Matt Rayberg is with the Wisconsin Soybean Association. He says the soybean market never fully recovered after losing ground with China during that first trade war.
We never regained that lost ground. In fact, China went shopping for a new supplier. we kind of became a little less reliable to them. And so they went to mainly South America and started buying their soybeans there.
Rayburg farms corn, soybeans, and wheat in Wisconsin, near the Illinois border. He views bailout programs as a temporary fix.
We want markets. Markets are consistent. We can bet on them. When you go to these ad hoc bailout programs, they definitely help, but it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
And some experts, including Kappas, the University of Illinois professor, worry that a bailout could keep production costs high.
If all these payments do is pass right through from the farmer to the fertilizer companies and the seed companies to the landlords, then the farmer's still stuck in this situation where the market isn't there, but the costs are not adjusting for what the new market reality is.
According to the USDA, farmers' fertilizer and labor costs are up 37 and 47% respectively since 2020. Back on his farm in Wisconsin, Saltvet says farmers can deal with low crop prices if fertilizer, seed, and equipment prices also come down. But they haven't for years.
It seems like it's just becoming more and more of a gap there lately that we can't get out from underneath.
Like most farmers, he'd rather see good markets to sell his crops rather than a check from the government.
Not a single one of us are in favor of receiving those payments. Obviously, we all accept them because it's kind of to keep us going for the next year, but we don't love seeing that kind of subsidies come through.
Saltvet says federal aid payments for farm losses are kicking the can down the road instead of fixing the problem. I'm Joe Schultz, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.